and forget what I'm doing here. So let's take our Bibles and turn to James. Good to see you this evening. And good to be in the house of the Lord in the midweek. And so thankful for God's preservation from the storms at this time of year. God is good to us. All right. I think James is after Hebrews. All right, there we go. All right, so it's been a little while, but we're working through this passage of Scripture, and we're, I think, examining a sin that I personally believe that we would all say, oh, I never do that, commit partiality, and we don't necessarily assume that that's a part of where we're at, but I think as we look at here this evening, it kind of opens up for me to realize, you know what, I could start identifying areas in my life where that begins to take place in my life. So we're picking up here in verse 8. It says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So he has two if statements. One is, if you fulfill the law. And then he spells out that law. He says, you do well. So you've got the if, then the then aspect. There's no specific then, but the second part to an if-then statement is the ye do well. The other one is, if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law. So you can see that parallelism going on there. And so what that does for us is we begin to compare those two together. We find that on one side, you either fulfill God's law, which is to love one another as oneself, or you have respect of persons. So therefore, respect of persons is not treating someone the way you'd want to be treated. And so, all right, so that sounds pretty simplistic in that aspect, but in some ways, what happens here is that helps us understand at the core, at the heart of this attitude that displeases the Lord, that has nothing to do with the faith of Jesus Christ, is an attitude of absolute selfishness. Where we come to that place where we say, I don't love other people the way I want to be treated. I don't have that kind of love. So it's an absence of love in our hearts towards others that causes us to say, what I really care about is myself. And so when I see someone that I like that benefits me in some way, then, boy, I show them a lot of kindness and favor, and I give them attention. And if they don't, yeah, it doesn't matter. And so when we begin to look at it this way, it's not just looking at someone and valuing on the basis of how much we think they earn or how much they have in money. It's, do they benefit me? You know, on that level, that can go very far-reaching, can it not? This person is enjoyable to talk to. That person is not. They benefit me. Those people don't. And so therefore, I'm going to treat someone differently. Oh, this person, we've got the same interest. I don't mean to kind of get so broad and everything, but I think there's an aspect that I begin to realize, how do I treat people? I want to think of it in terms of regards to even guests and visitors and those that have come in. Because everybody here, we kind of know each other pretty well. And we get to know each other through time. And if you've been here a long time, you know everyone well. But someone who comes in, you size them up pretty quick, don't you? And we kind of see someone for the first time, we say, oh, we're probably not going to be friends. Yeah, they probably have different, they're different from me. You know, what if someone comes in with a different skin color? I'm not saying necessarily racial prejudice aspect of that, and I know that's blown up in our society, but is there an aspect that we are going to tend to shy away from us, from someone who's different from us? An aspect that says we cannot have this attitude. Because really, the standard from God is, treat that person. I mean, they came in, they're disheveled, they stink, and you go, I don't want to be around them. And too many times when, you know, you may have someone that comes and, you know, their whole life's in a shambles, and they may walk through the door and, hey, we're praying. We're in the jail ministry. We're making more and more contacts on a Wednesday night. More and more, we're praying that God will bring in some of these disheveled people that have been living their whole lives on drugs, and they're coming out just to find out what's going on here. They've heard the truth in the jail, but they've come out here to be a part of the RU. What kind of reception are they going to receive from us, the people of God? Do we truly love other people? And the standard here is, well, let's see it. He calls this the royal law. That word royal can be translated, but it can communicate different ideas. So it could have the idea of royal in the terms of, like, this is the chief law, this is the kingly law, this is the law above other laws. And in some sense, that wouldn't be wrong. Because, and we can if you, yeah, we got time. You keep your hand here. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, we're going to be getting here. Someday we'll get to Romans 13 at this point. But this is kind of neat to me how I see the overlap of what we're doing in Sunday morning and Sunday school and these passages coming together. All right, I have to stop talking so I can find Romans. Acts, all right, thank you. Whew. Romans 13 is after 12, all right. Good. Verse 9, it says, "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So he's saying every command in the scripture. Now, I think it's interesting, and we may examine this more in detail, especially as we're going through the Ten Commandments. But he has just quoted the Ten Commandments, not all the Ten Commandments. He has quoted the last five. And so I think there is an aspect, there may be an element to which I think the commandments can be broken down into Jesus' statement. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's the first commandment. The second commandment is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, which comes from Leviticus chapter 19. And so you're in Romans. We can turn over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. This is going back towards James. Galatians 5. Verse 13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word," or one statement, "even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So if we want to say, is there a chief law that really, it's, if you want to say, all these other laws are just the spelling out of what this is in terms of principle, that we would love one another. Not only can it be the aspect of the royal law, but the word royal is the exact same word in verse 5. Heirs of the kingdom. So this could be the kingdom law, or the law of the kingdom of God. Which is very fascinating to me that this, we talk about law, and we think, oh, we're in the age of grace, law is done, but there is a law for the kingdom of God. That kingdom is still yet future, as chapter 2 says, that those who are poor are heirs of that future kingdom, and there's going to be a law in that kingdom. But don't be afraid, we're all going to obey it. But this law is going to be that we are going to love one another. I mean, it's going to be wonderful. When you get to heaven, everybody's going to love you. Everybody's going to love you the way God loves you. I'm going to be filled with love for other people. What a joy that's going to be. So there's an aspect of the kingdom law, or there's another aspect. This could have the idea of the law from the king. This is the law that the king gave. And when you think about the teaching of Jesus Christ, he says, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples." He wanted them to focus on this aspect of demonstrating love for one another. And he raises the bar, actually. He says, I want you to love others as I have loved you. And he went to the cross for us. Have we thought about this command? This law touches on every relationship, every activity. It covers it all. But maybe tonight is the first time we thought about it today. Maybe me studying this is the first time I thought about it today. Do we carry around with us this aspect of this, how do they want to be treated? How would I want to be treated if I were in their shoes? Would I have said that? Would I have spoken up? Would I have gone to them? Would I have reached out? Would I have cared? This law is a beautiful portrait of everything God wants us to do. And what's beautiful here, I just point this thing out. It says, if ye fulfill. He doesn't say, if you do. He says, if you fulfill. This word is connected to the idea of the perfect law of liberty. This is not just talking about you being obedient in terms of a one-time activity, but more of an obedience that has been made complete and full. This is a life dominated, taught by God's word to love one another in all of my relationships, in all of my activities. He says, if you fulfill this law, not just do it, but you fulfill it, you do well. And that's what God is working in us. But he goes on to say, if ye respect unto persons, ye commit sin. In some ways, I wonder if this type of sin is the kind of sin that we don't think of in this way, but I'm... How are you? Get out of here. Stop that kid. Hello, good to talk to you. So, oh, yes, having a wonderful day. Oh, yeah. My whole voice changes. My whole attitude changes. I don't know if that's necessarily breaking of that, but there's an aspect that says, well, what are these? They're all kids, you know. This is my family. Oh, it's my wife. I can talk to her like that. Oh, who cares, you know. Oh, this is people out. Oh, I want them to think well of me. And we change that idea of hypocrisy there. He says, ye commit sin. That word commit is the very word for work. It's almost like you're building something. We think of sometimes of sin like, oops, oh, I let some eggs fall off my out of my hands and they broke and oh my. But God says, if you're not fulfilling God's law of love, you are actively committing sin. You're building a life, a character of a selfishness against God. And in fact, it's more than that. He says, you are convicted by the law as transgressors. That word is a nice word that we can smooth over for the idea of a rebel. You're a rebel. And he goes on and says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble, offend in one point, he is guilty of all. There's never a verse in all the Bible that I'm not sure that I find more unfair. What? I'm guilty of all? You know, I think of it in this way. What if you... Let's say something was given into your care. Let's say amount of money. And you had to take it from point A to point B. And most of the time it was... I don't know, for the sake of the illustration, you didn't steal any of it while you were in Kansas. And you didn't steal any of it while you were in Missouri, and you took some for yourself in Tennessee, and you didn't take any of it when you got to Carolinas, all right? You say, are you a thief? Yeah. Because at any one point, you dip your hand into that which is not yours, you're a thief. And we say, well, I'm not a rebel. The law is there in terms it represents the character of God. And if we break that, we are just showing that we're not like God. And it doesn't matter which area of the boat we shoot the hole in, it's going to fill up. You can throw a piece of rock into one piece of the glass and throw it in the other piece, but it's all going to shatter because it breaks God's law. And so it may be in one area we fail over here, another person fails over here, but we are convinced when we live a life of anti-love, we're convinced before God that we're rebels against Him. And we're fighting against the law keeper. And so, I do believe, he's fighting against the self-delusion of partial obedience. I obeyed over here, and I obeyed over here, so it really doesn't matter what I did over there. And that's not how God's law works. We have to walk in submission to Him. Now, this may beat us up a little bit. It meant to make us go, oh my, oh me. I need the Lord. I need His forgiveness. I need to walk according to His standard. Because ultimately, God has mercy upon us. There is not a single person in here that has kept the whole law and not offended in one point and doesn't need the mercy of God. So to have a relationship with God, God knows to have a relationship with a human being, no matter what our names are, it's going to be a relationship in which is one of mercy. And we have to seek God for that mercy and ask Him to change us. Because ultimately, we're looking at it in terms of what we saw last time. I'll just draw on Sunday morning's message. Not only are the commands an obligation that we have to obey, but they are the promises of what God will make us to be. And when you look at this command, thou shalt, you will love your neighbor as yourself. That is God's drive and purpose and why He gave you the Holy Spirit and why He gave you the Scriptures and what He is going to ultimately accomplish in your life. And so may we allow Him to make us more like Him day to day. All right, that'll be our challenge for this evening. We'll give out some.